Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Even the Rich is a podcast from Wondery that tells the jaw-dropping stories about the tumultuous lives of the world's elite. From the greatest family dynasties to pop culture superstars.
Listen to Even the Rich on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Watch what crappens, watch what crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today is the wonderful and hilarious Mr. Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hi. Hey, Ben. How are you?
Good. We just finished a very big, long weekend. We went to Toronto and Philadelphia. Thanks to everyone who came out to those shows. They were both so fun. We had a blast, and now we have a few weeks of chill time before we hit the road again, right before Mother's Day weekend, or right before Mother's Day, I should say. We're going to New York on, I believe that is the 11th, May 11th, we're going to New York, and then 2 days later, we are going to DC. Both shows are going to be enormous shows, so we are excited to see you there, and then the tour is almost over. In June, we wrap it all up. San Diego, St. Paul, Minnesota, Chicago, Columbus, Boston, Foxwoods, and then that's it. So see us now or see us not now. But like, you won't be seeing us for the rest of 2023 if you don't come to these shows. So we hope you all come. It was a great, great, great time. And today we're talking Girls Trip, the final episode of that. But before we do that, just a reminder, go on to Patreon. Patreon.com/WatchWhatCrappens. And depending on the tier that you support us at, you can get videos of us recording the episodes. You can get our weekly bonus episode. This week we're going to put Below Deck Sailing, that recap, as our bonus episode. And then there's also a Discord channel, so come join us over there. And now, Ronnie, are you ready for the final episode of Girls Trip?
Yes, I am. You know, I did not expect a twist in this whole thing, and I absolutely love that we got a twist. Yep. I mean, I think I'm in the minority as someone who really loves this season of the show, so I was so happy that we even got a little mystery, because you know, those are my favorite kinds of shows. I love a mystery show, okay? That's what I love to do. I love to watch mysteries and guess what's happening, okay? You know, like the mystery of why I don't look one day older than my own daughter/best friend Avery. That's it, guy.
Whoa, it's no mystery. You just used True Renewal, okay? there was a twist. That was a funny moment. Look, I'm happy for, you know, I did not love this season whatsoever. But I'm happy. There were a lot of people who loved it. A lot of people thought it was really funny. So like, that's awesome. That's awesome that people were into it. I tried. Did not work for me. Did not click. I did not click with the content, but that doesn't mean we can't have fun making fun of it.
Yeah, so let's get on with it, shall we, Ben?
Yeah, so the episode opens up with Marisol and PJs lying around in the confessional saying, oh, I need a therapist. And then we see all these flashbacks of the craziness that happened over the past 8 days, 7 or 8 days at Villa I in Thailand.
Yeah, sent in Dr. Belvedere. So then we see last night there's the dancing on the pole, and Portia's saying, Portia's fight, everyone's story is boring to you, Leah. Yeah. And then them saying, oh, so you're scared of a big dick? Is this what you're saying? And Heather's saying, yes, I'm terrified of big dicks. And Whitney's saying, well, they at least have to be able to use their nose, which just stopped the entire conversation. And I've literally been thinking about all week.
Yeah. It's haunting.
And I'm Lebanese. Listen, our people, I think actually you and I, Lebanese people and Jewish people, have stereotypical things said about our noses.
Yes.
Right? We've got like big noses.
From the same part of the world.
I've literally never heard of getting fucked with the nose before.
I know.
I mean,
everyone has a kink, you know? By the way, speaking of your Lebanese heritage, you often say that everything's always about F. Murray Abraham. And I have to say that we as podcasters, I feel like we have really reached a new tier, because apparently F. Murray Abraham did something wrong. And we were on the email distribution lists for his public apology. And I have to say, that was to be like, to reach that tier where we're receiving celebrity apology emails, that meant a lot.
That's pretty big, guys. So who was it from, this email? I didn't see it.
There was like a publicist. It was a very terse apology that was like, I was telling some jokes. I had a lovely time on that job. I missed them all. And I was like, okay.
I told some jokes to some colleagues. Yeah, because the stuff was like sexual inappropriate behavior and all that.
Yeah.
The article I read was that he's like 83 now or something like that, which goddamn, you know? And, I read that he just made some jokes and some people didn't like him. So sorry. I mean, basically it was like, I'm F. Murray fucking Abraham and I'm 85. So what are you going to fucking do about it? Okay.
He's like, I'm already Salieri. Yeah. So you can't drag me down any further. Okay.
I became famous by being evil and I'm leaving this shit by being evil. So fuck all you guys. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
There you go with that. I am impressed that we got it. So thanks, world. You know, thanks for making us feel special on someone else's downfall day. You know,
I know, exactly. Just waiting for the letters from Don Lemon and Tucker Carlson today. So, you know, I'm sure we'll see those.
What'd they do?
They both got fired today.
Tucker got fired? I mean, Don Lemon I can see getting fired just because, I don't know. CNN's, all I remember is CNN's what?
No, I was going to say, because CNN like attempts to have like some sort of like standards.
I mean, Don Lemon, I guess I could see, but Tucker, I mean, doesn't Tucker have like an army of little people in bow ties that just stand up for Tucker no matter what he does?
Yeah. But you know, I think that he cost Fox News a lot of money recently. So I think that Fox News was like, listen, we were fine when we got rid of Bill O'Reilly. We'll be fine when we get rid of you. We'll find some other
Bill O'Reilly
camera.
Yeah, Bill O'Reilly's still pretty much gone, right? So this is all over that Dominion. The lawsuit for the voting machines. Oh, man, let me tell you, when I told you I was giving up on the real world, I wasn't fucking kidding. I don't pay attention to anything. Yeah, well, I don't care anymore.
There are memes going around that are like pictures of Carrie from Succession. People are like, well, now's her moment.
I've given up on the real world completely. That's all smart. I care about are housewives and, you know, Danielle being wrong on Summer House. That's exactly. Literally all I care about.
Although I have also given up on the real world, the TV show too, just for the record. So anyway, back to this, back to the fake real world. So Whitney is telling Giselle that she smoked two joints last night. Whitney is all of us in high school after the first time we did anything that was like rebellious, just like advertising it the next day. I smoked two joints last night. I did pot. I did the pot thing. Yeah,
it was wild. I did marijuana's.
I got really stoned. I could really like feel the feelings. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, anybody who's a smoker knows you don't need to smoke two joints a day. That's just, or in one sitting, that's just silly. You know, high is high. But, you know, it's dumbass Whitney. And, you know, God bless Whitney having a good time. Also, God bless Whitney finally learning how to drop some shit right when I'm sick of hearing it. Because she never does it on her show. But on this show, she's like, you know what? This isn't about me and Heather. And I was like, thank you, Whitney, because I am sick of hearing about you and weather. And I appreciate you knowing. I appreciate you learning to read a room. Now, learning to read in general, we'll get to. But learning to read a room helps me. So thank you.
So they're just like talking about the pole dancing last night. And basically they're saying how like, Giselle noticed that Heather did not even go close to the stripper pole. And Whitney goes, in all the time that I've known her, she's never touched my pole.
they all crack up. And Giselle's like, not, she's never touched my pole. And they start cracking up. Yeah. I love that Whitney's always had that in the back of her mind. Like,
yeah. I have a stripper pole in my basement. And Heather, even though she's my cousin, hasn't even touched it.
It's funny. She's talking like it's a coffee mug. Right, like imagine like putting down a coffee mug of tea in front of someone, they're just like afraid to touch a coffee mug, and it's like that would be a little strange. But a stripper pole, I don't know. I mean, I'm not afraid to touch a stripper pole, but I also don't think it's strange if some people are like, I don't know, it's not quite for me.
I think it's important for people to know that I judge their stripper pole, and that's it, because I do. I'm not a stripper. I don't judge it in a strip club. I mean, that's where they're, you know, I like it there. But people who are like, ooh, yeah, I'm so, guys, I have a stripper pole in my house. Everybody's like, oh my God, Ronnie has a stripper pole in his house? That's thirsty and unneeded, and I will judge you. And guess what? I'm not touching your stripper pole, because I've known strippers. I've been very close with a lot of strippers in my life, and they have stripper pole etiquette. They know how to wipe it down. They've all got wipies. I mean, listen, they could pull out a ping pong, a dollar bill, or a wipey from their vagina, and they will clean that shit right, or their boob crease or something, some part of them, and they will have the, you know, they'll clean it down properly. I don't trust Whitney. I think Whitney, to Whitney, her pole is just a toy that she gets to show off that she can do the splits. And that's all she... And I'm not touching that pole there.
Well,
I'm not
Whitney's pole is also like a little sad. I mean, it's there is, like you said, there's something like thirsty about it. It's just like this suburban stripper pole in the basement. So I wonder if Heather just doesn't touch it because it's just like touching a sad thing. Not that it's scandalous. It's just, it's sadless. It's just, it's like...
It's sad.
I don't want to touch this and endorse this very sad prop.
Yeah, and you know what? It's also not safe. Like, there's no inspector. There's no pole inspector to make sure. Like, if you're building a new bathroom, if you're doing a bathroom, you have to do the shower, and then you have to put water in the bottom of the shower, and it has to stay there for 48 hours, and an inspector has to make sure that nothing is leaked. You know what I mean? And that's just for a shower. You don't have to do that for something people are swinging off of. Heather's not going to swing off that fucking pole. Get that inspected.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'm Team Heather on this one. So then Pepsi's bringing some food to Giselle by the pool, and she tells him, she's like, so for lunch today, please enlarge a picture of the bottle if you can, and bring the easel, because this may be the last day in Thailand, and these ladies think I may have forgotten about the tequila, but I have not.
No. I have not forgotten. And she's like, don't tell anybody. He's like, okay, no one will know. And he's like, don't tell anyone, Pips. Lip zipped. You've just zipped the lips of Pipsy. No one's going to know a thing. So then mystery music in Thailand. I like that they just do their usual mystery music, but like with Thailand instruments, Thailandish instruments. Yeah. Thai instruments, I guess I should say, and getting ready music. So then Leah is in the fucking hospital still with her IV, and she's like, this IV is like an 8-hour bag, but I don't want to miss like the final dinner. I'm not going to go out like that. I'm leaving.
Yeah. Then they all are...
I don't think you're a rebel when you leave the hospital after you checked yourself in the first place.
I mean, she's been there for like 2 days for food poisoning, so it's like, it's not crazy.
I think you're only a rebel for running away from the hospital when they force you into the hospital and you like find a way out, like Girl Interrupted.
Terminator. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
wait, did anybody run from the hospital and Girl Interrupted? I was just thinking about it.
You know, I never saw it. I never saw Girl. I would have to assume that someone tried. Otherwise, they're not really interrupted, right?
Oh, my God. You owe some prayers to our Lord and Savior Angelina Jolie. I mean,
Listen, here's the truth about Angelina Jolie. She's not made many very good movies. Now, admittedly, that was her Oscar-winning performance, so I'm sure that one's good. Uh-huh. But if you look at her filmography, she has a lot of very blah movies. I would say the majority of her movies are blah. I'm putting it right out there. I'm gonna say it. Okay. Is someone gonna take a stance for The Changeling? Is someone gonna take a stance for?
I liked The Changeling. I thought that was a very good movie. Actually,
I actually never saw it.
Really? And so you're dissing The Changeling? It was actually a really good... I don't want to overstate it now just because I'm trying to make you look wrong on this podcast, but it was good. It was good. It was interesting.
What about the one where she played like the weather girl, you know?
What was that?
See, there was there's one where she was.
Don't
like
a try detective. And compare me missing her playing a weather girl to you missing Girl Interrupted. That's a much different miss.
I feel totally fine about missing Girl Interrupted. I feel like I got it. I saw the commercials. I was like, "That's a great movie." So
it was the commercials. Yeah,
it was. You know, they bought.
There was nothing surprising.
Winona Ryder is having issues in her life. She goes to this facility. She meets Angelina Jolie, who's like a wild, wild at heart, free spirit. They bond. They learn from each other. They grow, and then they ultimately have to leave each other.
And I thought, wow, Duval murders amazing. Them all. Yeah, know? And then that's how it ends.
That was a great movie. Give her the Oscar. Good. I've seen it was basically. A good one. Yeah.
Yeah, she got it. She won. So then, let's see. Leah leaves the hospital. Portia's doing her hair. And Pepsi comes in to check on her. And she's like, Pepsi, you look so skinny. Have you lost weight since we got here? And he's like, what does he say? Oh, he tells her what they're going to do.
Yeah,
basically, that
they're going to a restaurant tonight.
He ignores the weight loss question because he doesn't want to talk about being on Ozempic and then have everybody jump on his ass in Thailand.
Wow, everyone, even Pepsi. So Portia's making jokes about like that she like he's acting like a husband or like he's looking for a woman because he's like treating them so well, and she's gonna set him up. She's gonna set up Pepsi with someone. So now the girls go.
Well, because he's giving them all traditional Thai gowns to wear. He's like, mm-hmm. I want you guys all to dress traditional Thai today. And then we have special stylists that are going to come in and help you. And she's like, oh my God, you're acting like a husband, dressing us, buying us gowns. I think this answers a big question, too, that a lot of people had, which is why they're getting away with this problematic dressing up in Thailand costumes, I guess. And is it appropriation or is it not appropriation? And I think when Pepsi makes you wear it, it's considered not appropriation. Yeah. So there you go, internet. There is my final judgment.
Yeah, it's
not appropriation today.
Innocent. So now they're all hopping into vans. It's van time again. They're gonna go into town. And Whitney's like, I think that we've experienced everything that you can experience emotionally, right? And Heather's like, well, who surprised you the most on this trip? And so Candace then turns to Whitney and says, Whitney, I didn't know what to expect from you, and you're my favorite. And she basically is like, you're my favorite. I love you the most. There's no one else here who can like compete with you. You're just like the best person, specifically not only in this car, but also of the group, but even more so in this car. And Heather's just sitting
especially
there like,
thanks. Especially in this car. And it was so shitty because Heather is the one who asked the question. That's the one who cares the most, you know? The one who's right. Like, oh my God, who surprised you most? So she wants to hear you, Heather. I mean, I knew you were going to be amazing, but this amazing? Wow! Well, you're the most amazing. But Candace is like, no, you smell, and Whitney's the best. And Heather's like, oh, suddenly I feel like the third wheel on a first date. I mean, don't worry about me back here, girls. I mean, this doesn't affect me at all. I'm not jealous. I'm not sensitive. The gang have got a heart of stone back here. Who cares what I think? Now, I did just get dissed by someone with a lot of followers.
I also like how Candace proclaims Whitney as her favorite as if she's like, introducing someone at the Kennedy Center Honors. This person has been so influential to me and surprised me more than anyone I ever thought could be. Miss Joni Mitchell.
So in the other van, it's Marisol, Portia, Giselle, and Alexia. And Marisol's like, this tiny, okay, here's how casting for Miami happened. It was this tiny company and his husband and wife, and they were the ones who cast us. I mean, they did an excellent job casting because they pulled four from the original cast, are still eight years later. So that means that was a good job, right? I mean, 50% still here. And Alexia's like, well, I disagreed that they did a great job casting because that's why we were on TV for 8 years, okay? I have a different version. I think they were horrible at casting, and I think this whole group, that whole group didn't make sense, you know? I'm the only one who says it, and even though she's my friend, she doesn't support what I say.
I love Alexia turns this into a litmus test of friendship. Like, Marisol's the one who has the hot take, and then Alexia comes in and says, no, that's wrong, and then it's like, why don't you support me? I'm like, because she's the one who posted, she stated her own theory, and you're the one who didn't support her theory.
Yeah, she sucks. She's being mean. And, you know, I support someone being mean to Mary Soul, because Mary Soul does mean things to people. But come on, don't be mean to your best friend on the last day. You can't just try and, like, splurt out all this drama on the last day. Yeah. Do it in the beginning like everybody else.
And Marisol's just trying to prop herself up. She's trying to explain why she's even on this trip in the first place. The first, like, friend of, you know, I guess some of them have been friend ofs before. But, like, you know, Marisol's, they are with much more established casts, with much more established cast members. Although, I guess, actually, not Salt Lake City. So that's not as established. But the point is this. Marisol's just trying to sort of, you know, sort of fluff out the resume a little bit. And like, it's like, no, we're horrible. No, it's terrible. We're a terrible show. We didn't even make any sense. That's why we're off the air for so many years, you know, which I would actually argue is not really totally the casting department's fault. I think it's Bravo's fault for how they manage the show, but that's for a different discussion.
Well, it kept changing production values every year. I mean, yeah. 1 year it was supposed to be a different show about going to dinner parties or something.
Yeah.
And then the next year it became a housewife show and it was great. And then the third year tried to turn it into like more of a telenovela style, which is what we see now, like the way they shoot it and the really high production quality. But they only did that for the first episode, and then the rest of it just kind of went downhill because none of the cast would talk to each other anymore. Like they all like went in on Leah, and then Leah wouldn't talk to them. And so, yeah, that's a quick history of it.
Yeah.
But I think this is basically her way of just blaming Leah for shit.
Yeah, probably that too.
You know?
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Scammers are best known for living the high life, globetrotting on private jets, dining at five-star restaurants, and driving six-figure sports cars. That is, until their house of cards collapses and they're forced to trade it all in for handcuffs and an orange jumpsuit. Scamfluencers is a podcast from Wondery, hosted by Sarah Haggie and Saatchi Cole, that tells the unbelievable true stories behind some of the world's most infamous scams, swindlers, and con artists. Scamfluencers has covered jaw-dropping scandals, from Ponzi schemes to a fake Saudi prince to a sexual predator masquerading as a wholesome yoga guru. These scammers cost their victims hundreds of millions of dollars and immeasurable emotional anguish. So how does our culture allow them to thrive? Each story on Scamfluencers will take you along the twists and turns, the impact on victims, and what's left when the facade falls away. Follow Scamfluencers wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
So, Alexia's like, oh, well, you know, like, Marisol and I just finished, like, season 5, and, like, it was, like, a very tough season for me, and, like, I was, like, fighting with all the girls in the group, and, like, she, like, just decides to stay quiet, and, like, I feel like my best friend, like, you need to stick out for me and, like, show me you have my back. I mean, hello, when you're born a star, you need to also have, like, people who were born, like, supporters of stars, okay?
Yeah, you know why? Because there's a song, and it's called The Wind Beneath My Wings, and it's not because, you know, like, the bird needed that wind, but without the wind, like, what's the word the bird flapping in? You know what I mean? Like, it must have been colder in my shadow. Like, if there's nobody colder in your shadow, are you even a star? Like, somebody get Marisol a poncho, please.
Is it like noontime? Like, where's my shadow?
You don't stick up for me even when I'm dead ass wrong. I mean, Marisol is the biggest kiss ass we've seen on these shows in years. And if she can't stand up for you, you're wrong, Alexia. Learn how to admit that you're wrong and say that you are sorry.
Also, don't you get the feeling like Marisol literally always stands up for Alexia? Where is Alexia pulling this out of? Like, I think like Marisol's whole thing is that she just takes up Alexia's fights. She stopped talking to Adriana on behalf of Alexia at the end of Miami season. So I don't know what she's talking about.
It was that Nicole fight. It was the Nicole fight. It was the looking things up online and the I didn't scroll all the way to the bottom. And Marisol wasn't taking her side in that. She's like, well, she can fight her own battles, guys. I mean, I'm not 100% her mouthpiece. And then that got Alexia really pissed off.
Yeah.
Because you know that Marisol and Alexia were in that together. But once they're proven wrong, Marisol knew how to say, okay, I'm sorry. Sorry. You know, but Alexia's like, No, you're mad at me because you have to scroll to the bottom now on the internet? Really? Because nobody told me. So why aren't you mad at the internet? You know what you need to do? You need to call Mr. Bing. That's who you need to call. Call Bing.
Chandler. Okay? Go to his website. So now they are at this restaurant, and there's a whole bunch of lotus pads, and it's really pretty. And there's sort of like a the way there's like a pond in the restaurant, but there's almost there's like a walkway that looks like a catwalk. So Portia has this idea, like, hey, everyone, let's like do like a fierce walk down the catwalk, which then became a super famous, well, in our world, super famous. Like literally, no one's ever seen it or cares about it anywhere else in the world, but this Instagram story where they were all like sort of walking the catwalk, and Leah was not part of this catwalk, which then started all the rumors that Leah went home early because there was an elephant poop incident.
Yes, and this was the last day of shooting, so they figured Leah was not present. She had left the trip. Also, this is like a callback to the season one TikTok thing that they all did, and I'm sorry, this was cute, but you just can't do it without Ramona.
Yeah.
This is just one thing you can't do without. Ramona really made that. Watching Ramona try to dance, wow.
Yeah. So they sit down, they're ordering lunch and everything. They're all chilling out, and Marisol's like, okay, all right, did somebody do this one already? Okay. Who did you think you were going to like the least before you came here by our show? And Alexia's like, oh, well, you know, we already did that. Yeah, that was on Alexia News Network yesterday. Sorry. No, you're drinking too much. Too much, Marisol.
Yeah, you're drunk now, and I don't like it. Like, usually I like it, but now I don't like it no more.
I just like that Marisol is trying to, like, anchor a scene. And they're like, no, we already did this. We already played this game. We're out of ideas.
Yeah, because Marisol, like, we've literally just played this game. So Alexia does the alcoholic thing, and then we get a nice, and then Giselle's like, Pepsi, Pepsi, please enter the courtroom. And Pepsi brings out a giant poster of the Casa Azul bottle, like gigantic poster board that they went to Kinko's for. Now, I love that the staff can get this done in one day, but they can't find a bottle of Casa Azul for 3 weeks. Buying it. Classe Azul. Sorry, everybody. So he brings it in, and Giselle's like, this game is called Court is in Session. Nah.
We're going to do it Jen Shah style. So if at the last minute you want to say that you're guilty, feel free. This is your moment. Heather will still ride for you. Wah. So
can I just say that's not how court works? Okay. Just in case anyone's wondering and they're ever in court, that's not how it works. You can't just plead out in the middle of the case.
No. Okay. Yeah. No, that it's over by then. So Giselle's like, Portia, do you want to report to witness? And she's like,
well, I went to Heather's room because I was looking for a mask. And so she said, like, girl, look all around. Like, you can look wherever you want to look. And I didn't see a bottle at all. So she is okay.
Okay, let the record reflect. A witness said no stolen products. Heather, you are no longer a suspect. Now, Marisol is off the suspect list because she shares a room with Alexia, and they were the first to say, come search our room, so I'm putting myself on the witness stand. And Candace is like, you should! She's like, and as my witness, I will say, Candace, you are a suspect. Have you even watched a Law & Order? Where did you learn court?
And also, like, what's up with the lack of scrutiny for Alexia and Marisol? Like, Marisol is, like, you know, the most obvious candidate to steal the thing. And just because they said, oh yeah, check our room first, that they're off the hook. No, this is bad. This is bad for fake court case.
It's bad. It is bad for fake court case, because now people are going to be like, okay, this is how court works, because they watched a Housewives show, and that's just not how it fucking works. Now, if a case of Stroop waffles goes missing, I know it's in Ben's bag, and that's it. There's nobody else who's going to steal that shit. If there's some peanut M&Ms missing, they're mine. You know?
Well,
if there's some toilet paper missing, it's Bueller. It's Bueller stealing the toilet paper. Everybody knows.
Bueller just looks up like, me? What? So, So now Giselle's like, Candace, you're a suspect, because when we were at lunch, you all said you can check. You said you can check. Everyone said you can check my room. Even Candace, you said it. But when we got back, you said hell no. And Candace goes, I sure did. She goes, I accused everyone. And Candace is like, but you were rude. This was rude of you to do it. She goes, but this bottle means something to me, so it was not rude. What does this bottle mean to Giselle? Have we ever actually discovered what the bottle means to Giselle?
No, she's so stupid. And that also doesn't make something not rude just because it means something to you. You can still be rude even if something something means something to you. Like, is only being flippant rude considered rude? Giselle's just making up rules for everything today. So Candace is like, oh, it meant something to you, so that does not mean you attack your friends and accuse them of larceny. You could take the bottle out and put it in your booty hole and fly home for all I care.
Some cocktails arrive right on the heels of that. And Giselle's like, court is pausing. Court is pausing. Okay, court is back in session. Nah. So I would like to say that this has hurt me. Pepsi has lost sleep over this, which hurts me even further. And it just cuts to Pepsi in the corner of the restaurant, just sleeping, cuddling a pillow.
Literally asleep against a wall. He's standing up, sleeping against a window. So Giselle's like, Candace, are you innocent or are you guilty? She's like, innocent as hell. She's like, is the jury ready to render a verdict? And Heather's like, as a juror, can I ask a question? How many followers do the other jurors have? Because I think the people with the highest follower count should get the most vote.
Can we all agree as jurors, we all become friends and share each other's followers with each other afterwards? Great.
So are we just saying innocent or guilty on Candace? And Alexi's like, at this moment, we don't have the evidence to find the suspect guilty. I'm telling you right that. As somebody who's been in court very many times for something that wasn't my fault, let me tell you, you have to have like evidence against somebody, and you have to have like a whole thing. You have to have like a lawyer, okay? Please. Or give somebody some money. How do you think, oh, well, you know Peter's at home, okay? You know?
Alexia is taking this very seriously, I'd like to add. She's responding as if she is on one of those CNN town halls after a debate. Like, so what did you think about the performance of that candidate? And she's like, oh, well, you know, they did a very good job. But you know what? We still don't have enough evidence. So we cannot go any further with this debate until we get all the facts.
Yeah.
So she's taking it very seriously.
Until we have more evidence, you know, like, oh, well, you know, Peter was hugging that homeless man. And that's all I know about it.
You know, like what may look like a kick to one person may actually be like him just gently tapping with his foot to show how much he loves him. So, you know, it's hard to say.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to go watch a flamenco dancer and then the stage is going to sue them for kicking the stage? No, it was dancing. You know, that's it. Like, you need to have better courts.
So Whitney's like, I don't believe that she did it. And Candace goes, mistrial. Candace goes, well, I didn't say I don't believe it. I just said we don't have enough evidence in this very important evidence-based trial that we're having.
And Portia's like,
well, I can't say she's not guilty because I have doubts about Candace.
And Candace is like, you have doubts that I would steal? And she goes,
a hit dog will holler.
By the way, during this, Whitney is sweating so hard. And I'm like, why is Whitney not on the radar for anyone, by the way? And does anyone notice that she is literally the only one sweating at this restaurant right now during this faux interrogation? I mean, hello, point the finger at her.
I think as literally she's such a ding-dong that nobody knows what to do about Whitney. Whitney is always just, and she smoked too much last night, and she's wasted half the time. She's wearing her sunglasses indoors half the time. I mean, I think they just figure she has a problem, and they just let the sweating go.
Yeah. So, Giselle says that she thinks Candace is guilty, but due to what everyone has said, she's going to put this under advisement, whatever that means. So,
this is also not how court works.
Yeah.
You don't get to just say later, hey, you're back in court now. Like, no.
So Candace, like, when you see this footage will come out. When you see it, you have to buy us all bottles. And Giselle's like, well, I'm just calling the person who took the bottle to task. So Candace is like, is this what happens when you get old? You start going off on these wild tangents that make no sense. Who gives a fuck about this bottle? I'm like, first of all, yes, I feel like that's, have you listened to our podcast as we've gotten older? Like, all we do are wild tangents now. So I think that is part of the process.
How dare you? I take that personally. And she's like, and I'm not a thief. Your mother's a thief. Which I like. That's my favorite argument. Your mama. And so Candace is like, I'm not a thief and I'm not friends with someone who calls me a thief. And Portia's like, well, we're not going to break friendships over it. And Giselle goes, oh, we've been broke. Yeah. We've been broke.
Well, I'll tell you what's broke is my eardrums, and you're going to have to buy me a $5,000 hearing aid, Candace. I can't hear anymore because I keep sitting next to you.
And California, because I just wrote C-A. Candace is like, Mary Soul, this hoe has been yelling the whole time.
Yeah, well, I thought we were going to end at the place of agreeing to disagree. I mean, I know you guys all had stuff from before, but you also came as friend.
And Candace is like, but Portia, you were not accused of stealing and put on a fake ashy trial in front of everyone and accused of stealing a bottle of tequila.
An ashy trial. So Giselle's like, well, everyone here knows.
Ashy trial.
Yeah. Everyone here knows that Candace and I had a rocky season 7 due to her husband and that issue. And the level of friendship I have for you, you don't have for me. So that's where it hit me hard.
I love you more, which is why I accused your husband of possible sexual misconduct on television. Misconduct on television. Oh, God. So then we get back to this fight, which I know none of us have heard enough about. So then Candace is like, how can you say I haven't been your friend? And when I've stood there and watched you fuck with everyone on our show, and then you lie, and that was your first problem. Was being fine when she fucked with everybody else.
Yeah.
And not thinking it was going to come your way. Now, she's a younger housewife, so I give her a pass on that because that's how you learn. You know, you get burned. That's why learn rhymes with burn. Okay. Yeah. You get burned and then you've learned. Okay. Yeah. That's why you don't get burned again.
Yeah. And she's like, I was waiting for the moment when you would come for me, and then you came for my family. So Giselle's like, well, you told all of them a lie, like sexual assault. It was the truth. What else do you mean when you say my husband lured you into a room? So she tells us this is retaliation for neck rolls because I called her on what she is, a lying, Me Too, busting, fake accuser of sexual assault. And the fact that she's acting like she did not make up lies about my husband that could ruin his life, it proves how evil she is.
And Giselle's like, I need to sit with this for a moment. She goes, you can sit and you can stew and you can rot in it. I don't care. And Mary Soul's like, I mean, I'm not going to lie. You know, my coffee is missing too. And everyone's like telling me, like, I'm accusing you of forgetting to bring it here. Where's my court system? Where's my judge? Where's my jury? And I was like, oh my God. What could possibly have happened? I hope Mary Soul gets to bring her mother into it again so she can be entertaining for 5 minutes.
Yeah, Marisol suddenly introduces a second silly missing item scandal, which is that 3 days ago, she's basically like, I can't find my Keurig pods. Remember, did you see the Keurigs? the K-cups I brought? Did you find, you know where they are, Alexia? I can't find them.
She had red bricks of coffee that she brought for everybody and haven't been able to find them. And Pepsi's like, I haven't seen them. And Alexia's like, call Steve and see if you left it there. She's like, I have been seeing it in my suitcase, Alexia. So don't tell me that I don't have it because I did have it. I saw it in my suitcase. Well, you also said that you saw the landlord from Three's Company in your suitcase. I did. Mr. Furley was spying on us. His head popped. Okay, great. I guess I'm just a fucking liar now. Great.
Well, I created a coffee line with my mother and Mr. Furley, for the record, and it kind of fizzled out, and I only have one case left of it, so I brought half of the case to Thailand to share with the girls as a gift, and my coffee's gone missing, and it's heartbreaking. I'm like, well, I mean, I understand Marisol is still grieving the loss of her mother, who she's very close to. But at the same time, it's just coffee. It's okay. I think it's all right.
Someone was posting pictures on El Internet about this coffee and showing that they had a scene at the breakfast table where everybody does have a brick of red coffee. So I guess they found it, but we never got the ending of this. So I'm not really sure.
That's too bad.
So, and I didn't see this myself. I was just reading it on Reddit. Where I get all my news. So Alexi is like, could we not talk about your coffee? Because listen, this is about the tequila bottle. The tequila bottle has a poster, okay? We saw the tequila bottle, and then somebody took a picture of it and put it on a poster. So that is somebody we've actually seen missing. You're like making up missing people, okay? Yeah, you can't like just draw like nothing on the back of a milk carton and expect people to find it, okay? We haven't seen it.
Yeah, we have never seen your coffee, so it can't be missing. Sorry. She's basically gaslighting Marisol. You never brought the coffee in the first place, you crazy drunk.
Marisol's like, sorry, I didn't bring it out on a platter. Oh, well, yeah, then it's not evidence, so we can't see it. She goes, let me talk, Alexia. And then Alexia starts yelling, why are you acting like Candace? You're screaming, okay? So calm down. Which, of course, she's the screaming. One who's screaming and not calm.
Marisol's like, I don't need to listen to you because I saw the coffee there. I saw the coffee.
Listen to anyone. And so Portia's like, I think you're getting irritated maybe because you're staying in the same room. And Marisol's like, yeah, well, we don't really get like that. And Pepsi's like, knock. I think now it's time for our special festival with the stylist to put you in traditional Thai dresses. You'll all stand on a brick of coffee. I told you I brought my coffee.
Oh, no, he said a brick of toffee. Sorry, Marisol, you're just really hearing a lot of things right now. No, he said coffee. Stop gaslighting me about the coffee. It's here, I swear, it's here.
So then back at the house, Candace goes to see Leah, who's now home, and Leah's like, I'm alive. And Candace is like just screeching and jumping all over her and hugging her. And Candace is like, so, what's the tea? And Leah's like, well, I have a viral infection, and I just took a regular shit.
Listen, I've been there. I was there last week. It's a cause for celebration.
Listen, don't ever ask Leah the tea. Just don't ever ask Leah the tea. You know what I mean? She's never going to give you anything interesting. It's always going to be like, well, I fucked somebody from a deli today, or my shit finally formed, you know?
Yeah, seriously. So she's coming to dinner. She's excited. And she's like, I'm not going to miss the dinner finale. That's one thing I'm not going to do. So then Portia and Giselle are doing their confessional together. And they're just talking about how they're excited to wear their gowns that have been made for them. And they're just joking again about how Pepsi seems like he's really looking for a wife, and that he's feeding them, making them all happy. It's like what you do when you are looking to win someone over. I like to normally put in romantically connect with someone, but I'm not sure that was, I guess where the jury's still out about Portia and Simon, if that's how their relationship was formed. So then Leah is like, how's Pepsi? And Candace is like, oh, he's so good. He's just keeping us in line. And because Leah loves Pepsi. And basically, Candace tells her about lunch and everything that happened. This goes on for 20 minutes. It's just milling about the villa.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Giselle and Portia are talking, and Giselle's like, listen, I was not leaving Phuket without solving the bottle. It's mystery. I was the judge. And Portia's like, and the jury. Ha, 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 ha. And Giselle's like, well, I think Candace took it. But then, of course, it turned into Candace screaming that I'm accusing her. And then the girl said they didn't mind and that I wasn't accusatory. So I don't know what she was talking about. And Portia goes, oh, no, you are definitely accusatory. And then they start laughing. And then Candace is telling the story to Leah. And she's like, she can just fuck off. It's just more insight to how bitter and mean she is. And you know why? Because she's bitter.
Yeah, and they're still talking in the confessional. They're just joking about the suspects, we're gonna solve it with rock, paper, scissor. Marisol would be a scissor, Heather would be a paper because she's flat, and Candace the rock because she's hard-headed. So they do Rochambeau, and oh my god, it's rocks. Candace is the guilty one.
What a shocker. So then everybody starts getting ready in their Thai garb, their traditional Thai garb, and Pepsi awards Portia with the queen, with the queen's crown. So she gets to have the honor of being the queen tonight. So then Heather comes to Whitney's room in her dress, and they're like, let's go outside and take a selfie. And Whitney goes, yeah, you know what, Heather? That's your color. And I was like, it's the same color as her skin tone, which I really like. I love that. I like when someone's like, you know what your color is? Beige.
So they go, they stand out at the railing by the pool, and they look out on the view, and Heather's like, I feel like I haven't even enjoyed the view. I've just been my eyes have been assaulted with all the followers that all these alphas have. I mean, we were with the big dogs and all their Instagram followings. So she says the trip has it's been eclipsed by the drama of what they've been through, and she just wants tonight to be about the energy of this space and letting everything go, because tonight is their night to be in cousin love.
And Whitney's like, I'm personally there. Are you there, Heather? She's like, I want to be, Whitney. I want to be. She goes, I get what you're saying. This would be very different. Like, but now we laid something that we can build on. And I want you to know, I honor you, Heather. I'm so proud of you. And I'm so sorry I challenged your Mormon journey. And Heather's like, well, when I challenged you, it was because you can't have feelings about my journey. That's not it. But it's not your thing, you know? And Whitney's like, I now know that. Let's hug so we can fight again in 1 week when we tape the reunion for Real Housewives of Salt Lake City and hate each other again.
And then like a little random feather comes floating down and Heather's like, it's a far scum feather. It's a sign. It's a sign that we're about to go run for very far and work on a shrimp boat. So,
but then of course she tells us, oh yeah, well, catching this four scum feather may feel like a fix, but it's just the beginning. I was like, well, why do you pretend like you're made up? You can't keep pretending you're made up and then keeping fights going in the diary room.
And also, you literally were the one who pulled Whitney out to look at the view and said, let's let everything go tonight and be in cousin love. And now you're like, it's just a Band-Aid. So, yeah. Anyway.
Which is, by the way, your color.
So now they are doing their, like, Whitney and weather, bad weather dance in the living room.
They're doing it for Candace. She's like, you've never seen our Whitney Heather bad weather handshake. Whitney Heather bad weather tornado tomato, get ready. Like, that is the word. This woman is in charge of a choir, okay?
And I know. So now they get into the vans. And Candace has to sit in the back. And I felt like I wanted more insight into this because Heather is sitting in one of like the seats in like the second row, like behind the passenger seat, you know. And when Candace gets in, Heather goes, oh, Candace, I know you don't like sitting in the back, but I decided today I'm gonna take my pilot seat. I'm gonna get the pilot seat. I was like, oh, you know that every time they've gotten to the vans, Candace has pulled some sort of card, like she can't sit in the back row, she must sit in the front, and she that's forced Heather to sit in the back every single episode. And you know there was probably a huge amount of drama about, like, tonight I'm just going to sit in the second row. And I don't care what she says. Because you know what? I'm with the big dogs now. And they would sit in the second row if they wanted to. And I kind of was like, I would have liked to have seen a little bit more of that drama instead of all this tequila bottle drama.
Chair, seat drama in a
car. Seat drama, yeah. Because I feel like
that would have saved everything. That would have saved the season.
It would have.
So Heather's like, all right, guys, let's listen to Drive Back for a pump up. And so then in the other van, it's the Mary Soul van. And she's like, well, everyone, you know, I'm a Capricorn, so I'm very stubborn. And Lexi's like, it's got nothing to do with that. Okay. Oh, yeah. She hates when I refer to the Zodiac, but I believe it. She's like, oh, she believes everything because everything you are is because of Zodiac. You know, it's so silly.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. She thinks that like everything is because of like some celestial force, you know, like that justifies all the actions. You know, that's crazy. By the way, did I say I was born a star? So I'm just like born that way. Sorry.
It's in the stars. So Giselle's like, well, how about when she said you don't have her back? And Marisol's like, well, listen, there's certain topics I don't assert myself. And when she gets attacked, I just get quiet. No, when she gets attacking and she's wrong, you stay quiet. I'm not often on Marisol's side, but on this I am. Because I was actually really happy for Marisol when she didn't let herself get dragged into shit, when Alexia wouldn't let things go. So I'm on her side for this one.
Yeah, Marisol's like, Alexia and I are just like very old friends, but like we've been sharing a room for 8 days, and tensions are hot. And then we see a flashback of all their tensions with one of my favorite scenes of the season. Was when there was like a centipede on the floor and Alexia is just screaming in the background, like, we gotta get out, Marisol, we gotta get out, somebody go out, 911.
But literally every clip that they showed of them, you know, just having high tension was just Alexia being mean and yelling at Marisol.
Yeah.
You know? It's just like, oh my God, Marisol, get the spider or get the centipede or whatever. And then it was, you know, no one has your coffee. Like, it was always Alexia being mean. So we cut back and she's like, well, no one else has been under the same circumstances as the two of us. So everyone can take their opinions and that's what I say about it. Then we cut to the other van and Heather's like, and then we say we're gonna come back with our thumbs. Come back. She's like choreographing like when you're a little girl and you're choreographing with your siblings.
Yeah, it's like when you're on a field trip, so you start coming up with dances. And then Marisol's like, look, we both have a different talent. Like fighting, she's a master with fighting. And Giselle's like, well, she's not looking for a fighter. She just wants you to have her back. And Giselle theorizes that Alexia feels like she's carrying Marisol. And without Alexia, like who is Marisol's friend on the show? Marisol's just out there adrift.
Right. She's a friend of, and the friend is Alexia. So without Alexia, Marisol wouldn't even be on the show, which I think is true in a way, but that's also not fair because that's always what people do when they bring a friend of on the show. It's like what Mia did with her friend. If you don't stand up for her 100%, like that's your job, just to stand up for me. And if you don't do it, then I'm going to fucking annihilate you and get you off the show. That's not really fair either, you know?
Yeah.
But it is true about Marisol. So Alexia's like, well, you know what? When I say something, I say it from the heart and the truth. That's how I speak it. Because that's how you win, you know? And like, what did you do? What you did to me at Nicole's engagement party? That wasn't cool. She goes, I didn't hear the guy say that. And then we see the clip of her, Marisol, going, well, maybe you didn't see they were divorced because they didn't have the website yet. And then Alexia going, don't upset me, Marisol, okay? Don't talk to me about a webmaster right now.
Like, okay. The most like benign pushback of all time is Marisol saying like, oh, maybe the website's not updated. Maybe that's why you were mistaken.
Yeah, I don't need anything from miamishade.gov. Okay, right now. Thank you.
Yeah, so Alexia's like, she's like, oh, well, you know, Marisol is uncomfortable sometimes talking about things that are uncomfortable to her. She kind of likes to brush them under the rug. I'm like, well, that's the nature of uncomfortable things, right? Like who likes to talk about things that make you uncomfortable, right? Am I crazy? If you like talking about things that make you uncomfortable, then those are things that make you comfortable, I think.
Yeah, and Marisol's like, so you got mad, so that gives you the right to say, oh, our marriage is fake? My marriage is fake? She goes, yeah. And she goes, I didn't say it was fake. You're putting words into my mouth, okay? You need to take pills because your brain is fried, just so you know, okay? Your brain is fried. Your brain is like a plantano, okay? It's fried.
So Alexia's like, it's all tense and angry. And then in the other van, it's just like, drive back, drive back. They're just like singing the best time. They're doing their
choreography, and Candace, of course, loves it. And then it cuts back to the other van, and they're just silent now because this fight has been so awkward. So it just keeps cutting back to drive back, drive back. And then just cuts to Marisol like, khakis, I'm an alcoholic. So they get to dinner, and it's gorgeous. It's this big outdoor setup, and it looks like a movie set of what Thailand, you know, like a romantic night in Thailand would look like.
Yeah, it's so pretty. And they like get on like a little boat that then someone on the boat is like pulling a rope. It takes them to their table across the lagoon. And they sit down at their table, and Leah's just saying how she's so happy because she was able to make it tonight. So they all do like a toast to the ladies and everything.
Marisol, they give them drinks, and Marisol goes, oh, I love these fishbowl glasses. I want the lighter one. What's this? And a lady's like, oh, yeah, this one's non-alcoholic. She goes, oh, that's for Leah. God, I thought that was too red for my liking. Give me the lighter one.
Yeah. So Giselle's like, Leah, have you been missing us? And she's like, actually, yeah, I really have missed you guys. It just cuts to Portia rolling her eyes. Every time Leah speaks, Portia just rolls her eyes like really big. She's like, just in case the camera didn't see him, I hate Leah. She's like,
and it's so funny because Portia does the toast and she's like, to us ladies, being absolutely amazing and taking the time to be here and just loving on each other and having sisterhood. And Candace is like, yeah, Leah healing. And Portia's like,
sisterhood for everyone except Leah. So yeah, so Leo's like, yeah, I missed everyone. And Marisol goes, well, I would miss this too if I were in a Thai prison. I mean, hospital. I mean, it's a fine line between hospital and prison. Am I right? So Leo's like, what did I miss? I want to be like, absolutely nothing. You missed nothing has happened since you passed out, unfortunately.
And Whitney's like, I got really, really high last night. Candace is like, yeah, we were smoking in confessional. And they're giggling. And Whitney's like, yeah, it was like 4 a.m. and I was really hungry. So I went into the kitchen. And
she's like, I had a lot of ganja, marijuana, weed, pot, all those things. Herbal.
I almost fell off the edge. And then Alexi is like, it's amazing to me that you're so liberated, Whitney. You know, because like I'm not liberated, but like you are. It's so great for you, you know? And like you talk so freely about this weed. Like I know it's legal, okay? And I know it's like medically necessary for some people, you know? But like you have children. Like I do too. But I wonder when like they see you on TV and you just, you know, like you just shared earlier that your daughter found your paraphernalia before. So like, wow, I'm so proud of you for being like so good about being such a bad mother in person. Like, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, like, what is it like to be, like, such a bad example for your children and, like, not even care or notice? You know, like, what does it feel like? Because I just don't understand that, you know? When he's like, do I want my daughter to find a pipe? No, I am me, and my kids accept me for me. Alexia's like, oh,
yeah,
no,
but it's, yeah.
It's not about you. It's not about
ahead,
you
ben.
Being
go
you.
Go ahead, Alexia, please.
All right, no, thank go you, ahead. Other Alexia. Like, no, it's not about you being you. I mean, I think you're absolutely amazing. I mean, you're wonderful, you know? But you have a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old, and it's like a dangerous age, you know? Because, like, that's when they could wind up being stupid forever, you know?
Yeah, because, like, you're forming your children at that age. That's when you're, like, forming them. And Leah's like, are you talking about this from experience because of your ex-husband? She's like, no, my ex-husband has nothing to do with this. I raised my children on my own. And Portia goes, are you judging her? Hey, yeah, I feel judged.
Alexa's like, I'm not, like, even judging. Okay, I want to know, like, when you are sitting there, when you're on, like, the pole being, like, I don't know, like a slut. You know, like, you know, it's great. Like, I'm so happy for you. But like, you're being like a slut, a druggy slut who's high on drugs and being slutty. You know, like, I'm super liberal, but that would have stopped me because like, I'm not like a druggy slut like you are, you know. But what are my kids going to think of me? Like, what is the example I'm going to set out? Are my children going to be like little slutty drug users? Like, I don't know.
And Leah's like, I'm just surprised you're saying that because, like, you were married to a cartel member. So, and then it just goes boom. And Leah's like, yeah, so I'm surprised. And Alexia's like, I did not have children at the time. So that's very different. Okay. Like, that's different. And Forrest is like, what does the cartel have to do with anything?
And then Alexia suddenly realizes, like, wait a second, I should be mad right now. So she's like, Leah, I'm having a conversation with Whitney, okay? I'm in the middle of shaming her for her choices, okay?
And she's like, well, everyone says Leah doesn't talk, so now I'm talking and you don't like that I'm talking. And Alexia's like, you're throwing shade, that's what you're doing. Like, you're trying to get attention, but like throwing out something shocking, okay? I'm bored, this is what you say. Oh, you're married to the cartel, that's what you say. No, my love, I was married to the father of my kids. She goes, okay, but there was still an ex-cartel member in there. She goes, my kids weren't born then.
And you're judging Whitney, though. No, I'm asking for her advice. Like, how do you make sure your children do not grow up being garbage when you are acting like garbage yourself? That's all I'm doing. I'm not being judgy.
Yeah, and her cartel husband thing was before, but she still laughs about it all the time on camera and went on a Netflix documentary kind of like glamorizing it. So,
I mean,
what are your children going to think? You know, like, what the fuck?
Leah's being rude, but she's sort of bringing up a point, which is that, like, someone could say to you, like, hey, you know, like, we're all influences on our kids. And like, through Alexia's mind, it was like, oh, that was the father of my kids. In her mind, it was not like, oh, he's a drug dealer criminal who went to jail. And, like, what influence does that have on your kids, right? So she's making a pretty stark point, and she's doing it in a typically rude way. I'm not gonna lie, I did chuckle.
Oh, I was loving this. I was loving it because Leah's the best.
I was like, I'm alive.
Leah's the best when she's right. You know, she's annoying when she's just being obnoxious to be obnoxious, like a spoiled little brat. But she is great when she's just throwing the truth right in someone's face.
Yeah, this was so right. This peak Leah right here.
Alexia's like, oh, I'm not judging. I'm asking for advice, you know, which is that it's called concern trolling, and it sucks. It's a shitty thing to do.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yes, where you're asking things out of concern, but you're really dissing somebody. That's called concern trolling. So she's like, yeah, I'm just asking for advice. And Leah's like, you were judgy, period. And she tells us, oh, she's a great mom. Like, I mean, this girl was married to a cocaine dealer, okay? The clothes off your back were probably bought from fucking people who've died of overdoses. So I'm sorry. Get off the high horse, bitch.
I was like, whoa.
And I know that some of us as an audience are probably thinking, well, no, that was when she was young, and then she divorced that guy, and then she got with a different guy. Well, then that guy was like a child molester, okay? That guy was in jail for sexual assault and battery on a minor. So that's not great either. That's Peter's father, who we saw on the show a few weeks ago. So Alexia, you might want to just keep your judgment. Yeah. Keep your judgment.
Yeah, okay? Exactly. So Whitney's like, my kids are 9 and 12, and we have very open conversations, and they know what is right, and they know what is wrong. Plus, they've already seen me do Love is Art with Justin, so I'm really not too concerned about weed at this point.
I can't say that my children really want to paint anymore, but they're probably still open to smoking weed, so I guess it's all okay.
And although they did say they both want to become love therapists, whatever that means.
Whitney, you have to excuse me, but if you had respect for your family, you would not be on a stripper pole on national television. Boom! Now that's Marisol. That's what Alexia expects from Marisol in every situation, and she just handed it right to her.
Yeah, she just did it. And she was just blatantly judgy there. As opposed to Alexia, who was concern trolling, who's pretending like she wasn't judgy, Marisol was just full on, I'm going to be a judgy bitch right now. So Giselle's like, you can't say that, da. And Candace goes, that is incredibly judgmental. And Marisol's
like, well, the kids go to school, and then the other kids pick on her kids. Oh, really? Let's talk about all the kids that fucking Peter has probably picked on, the fucking homeless guy kicker.
Yeah,
I'm sure he was a real fucking prince.
Yeah, exactly. And Marisol's, I'm just thinking about the kids. Okay, so now she's concern trolling. She's now shifted into concern trolling. Marisol, you know, when the kids go to school and they say, look, it's the stripper's kids, and Candace goes, what about when your husband goes to work and they see you drinking all day? Let me finish.
And Giselle's like, yes, she put her foot in it, so let her finish now. She goes, no, I didn't put my foot in it. You know, I'm thinking of judgy parents. Well, you don't have to, like, tailor your life to judgy parents. Here's what you say to judgy parents. Fucking mind your own fucking business, you judgy fuck. That's what you say to judgy parents.
And judgy parents are always going to be judgy, no matter what you do. So you don't have to change for them.
So Portia's like, you don't know how she's running her household. And Giselle's saying, you know, we shouldn't judge each other on how we are as mothers, because everybody mothers differently. And if Whitney wants to get high and do drugs in front of her children, that's her business.
I can't judge that.
Which, of course, is judging, you know, how she's judging. So then Whitney's like,
I think it's very interesting coming from the same woman that her son has been in the news for kicking a homeless man. Of all people, I don't feel like she has a space to judge. And listen, now talking to you, when my daughter is asked at school about me, she says, why? Are you jealous? That's my mom. Are you jealous? And Marisol's like, oh, okay, then you're raising her right. That's good. So people see you doing the splits in your vagina being fuzzed out on national television while you're doing drugs and injecting God knows what into your veins while you're getting spit roasted by a football team, and they like it. Well, good for you. Good for your good mother. I changed my mind.
Man, you won me over. So now it's time for a festival. This is the true Band-Aid, where they do this at the end of a season or any Bravo vacation, where they try to have them all come together. So they're going to do a very lovely festival. But first, before the festival begins, all of a sudden we hear Pepsi going, Letters, Pepsi's here. And they turn around and there's Pepsi dressed up and coming in on the rope boat. And he's holding up a bottle of Clase Azul. And
there's like majestic music playing from below deck sailing, like when the sails go up, it's like dun 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 dun. He's like, after you left the house, I'm searching all around the island just for you, and peace for all.
Yes. So he got.
And he's crying, by the way. Pepsi needs to get a hold of himself. he's literally sobbing that he found a bottle of Class A Azul at a liquor store.
Yes. So. It wasn't the bottle that she lost, but it was a bottle. So Giselle saying, Pepsi has really been there for us the entire time, ma. And to see the lengths that he went through to get this bottle for me, yeah. It's really touching. Can't wait to find new ways to make him cry, yeah.
And Candace says, we are rewarding demon behavior. That bottle does not deserve Giselle.
So now they do the festival where they're basically, it's a festival to celebrate nature because we as humans are terrible to nature all the time. And now it's our way of saying, sorry. It's a very lovely festival of putting flowers in the water and setting them adrift. So they do it. And Candace tells us, they all have to say something as they do it. So Candace tells us that this trip has been a long lesson on rising up from ashes. It's been a lot of cussing, but she's found new friendships and she doesn't want to ever talk to Giselle again. Rest in peace, or don't.
My intention is I'm releasing any negativity from the group, and I hope all the ladies stay a group so that I can call them all back to the stand when I need them to be there. and Candace is like, I prayed for healing, and I'm sorry. I'm sorry that people were bullied.
I'm like, oh, sorry God. That rising stars, future Grammy winners, were bullied, but I'm also appreciative that those artists now have some inspiration for their next works.
So now Portia and Leah go up, and Leah's like, I would like to release whatever fucking diarrhea is left in me and only, you know, shit out solid things from now on, because that really sucked. And actually what I've learned here is most of the women here are fucking cut fitnesses. And what I want to say is, what I really want to say is, I don't fuck with half of you here. I don't like half of you here. I love the friends I did make. The rest of you can go fuck yourselves. Fuck off. Thanks.
See that again? That's the Leah we love. That's the Leah that like I'm into. Just like fuck you all. So now Marisol and Alexia do the. Oh well, Portia says she wants to release bad talk. Whatever. So
no, then, Laura. Portia says, "I would like to be nicer to myself." Oh, okay. Wow. Yeah.
Well, I was afraid that wasn't happening. So Marisol's like, "Well, like all old couples, we know we love each other and we bicker, and I pray for peace. And I'm in my honeymoon phase with Steve. And anyway, I'm like, I need meat. I just need the meat. I want to go home to the meat." It's like, I don't want to think about Steve and the meat. I don't want to think about Steve's meat.
And the producer's like, well, are you still going to have a friendship with Lexi after this? And she's like, that's the dumbest question I've ever heard. We need a new production team. You guys suck. So then Alexia just copies what she says because she doesn't know what to do. So she pretends to cry. And she's like, I'm thinking, like, I'm coming with my best friend. Like, and like after all these 7 days, I know I was with my best friend. Like, we fight like married couples, but like at the end of the day, we adore each other, even when she doesn't agree with me. That's not true. If she ever disagrees with me again publicly, like, I'm gonna fucking kill her and not be her friend anymore. She's not gonna have a show to be on. So that's it. Sail, little thing. Sail across the water, okay?
So then Whitney and Heather go up there at Whitney's. I'm releasing, expecting the worst in people. And Heather is releasing her judgment of alphas and big dogs and the expectation of people meeting me where I think that they should be, which is much higher in the case of Whitney.
So now it's the morning, and Heather in chicken head. Oh, Heather's in a chicken head, and Whitney's in a like fox head or something.
Yeah, they're like,
and they're doing their bad weather. Yeah, they're like, Whitney, Heather, bad weather, tornado, tell the truth, destroy.
Yeah, and so now people are like packing up. Pepsi's handling like big heavy luggage. Leah's telling Candace how much she just like really admires her. She says that Candace really is the shit. And Whitney's just sitting at the table having breakfast, and Alexia sits down with her. Alexia's in this like not va-va-voom, but it's very like femme fatale travel wear, right? Like stripes. And Whitney's like, Whitney's like, wow, that's like a big look to travel in. She's like, oh, well, yeah, you know, I'm going to change it to something else to travel in. It's just like her last look. Her last look for Whitney's the series.
Like, yeah, I know, I get it, because I have a few outfits I never got to wear either. And so they make small talk, and Alexi's like, oh, you know what? Speaking of small talk, I wanted to tell you, you know, when I asked the question, you know, like, how comfortable are you about being a slut and drug addict in front of your children? That was coming from a good place because I'm a mom too. Mm-hmm. And it's always been something I struggle with, is like giving a bad example. And Whitney's like, thank you for that, because that's kind of where I felt the judgment. And she goes, oh. Oh, no, no, me? No, I don't judge anyone. You know, because maybe you smoke drugs around your kids and then your kids don't want to smoke because, oh, well, you know, Peter never saw that smoking in my house, but he still likes to smoke up, so I know he didn't get it from me. So maybe it's the opposite in you, you know, like, good for you. Like, maybe your kids won't be sluts because they see you being a slut. So, like, good for you. Maybe you're doing it right.
We just have to help each other. Like, I need to be more like you, and you need to be more like me at times.
Yes, at times. That will never happen. Yeah. Yeah, so I'll just be like me, and you can just be like me, too. I think that's perfect.
She's like, well, it was amazing meeting you, slut. And Whitney's like, you know what? Unfortunately, I don't think I really built a bond with her, but I will accept it. You know, she might come down to my basement one day, and to her, it will just be a basement. Until I learn to bond with her, in which she'll realize it's been a speakeasy this whole time. No, Terry!
No, Terry. So, hi, beautiful hookers. It's time to go. So everyone's gathering, and they're all there and now in the dining room, and Pepsi's there to say goodbye, and Candace is like, Pepsi, as a recording artist, I would like to speak for the group here and say thank you one last time. We signed a card for you from some toilet paper that was left over from the Leah incident. We sort of wadded it all up and wrote things on it. It's the best we could do. And here's a picture that we took, and you can have it forever. And so he's like crying. He's so sweet. He's like, oh, thank you for all the memories. Oh, I can't even go on. I can't say anything more. Oh, Pepsi is sad right now.
He's like, I'm not crying from sadness. It's more from love. I love you all more than 3,000. And he tells us, anytime the girls want me, all they need to do is open their fridge and see a can of Pepsi. That's me.
Oh, that's a good, I mean, talk about product placement. So now they all leave, and we see like a little credits. We also, by the way, in the credits, we learn that Pepsi's name is Thepsity, it's not Thepsity, but it's like Thepsity. It's like T-H-E-P-S-I-T-I, which is why he's probably called Pepsi. And it's like, oh, ending credits, it's all over. But wait, is it really over?
And also they're playing da 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 da,
yeah, graduation da, music,
which, yeah,
pomp and
weird
circumstance, yeah,
super weird. So then Giselle is asking production, she's like, as a matter of fact, where is that bottle? Did you find the footage? And they're like, nope, sorry. Well, where do you think it is? And they're like, I have no idea, Giselle. Didn't see it, didn't hear about it, nothing. And then we see Leah and Candace in the diary room, and they have the bottle, and they're laughing. And Candace is like, where did you find this bottle? And she goes, no comment, but you can have it. So she gifts her the bottle. And so we think, okay, did Leah take it? But right. Then we see, after Whitney and Heather's beige Band-Aid outfit talk, mm-hmm. Where they were bonding, when Heather said, before we go, let's take a shot of Giselle's Classe Azul. They never check the outdoor showers.
They're so dumb. Stealing bottles 101. Does not bode well for Heather's credibility when talking about the black eye as being like, I was mortified. I just didn't want to tell anyone because I just was drunk and I was just embarrassed. I don't even know how I got it. Doesn't bode well as a witness.
I loved it. I thought it was so fucking good because she just did that whole thing last week of like, Giselle, and for you to accuse me and say these things to me, I mean, that really hurt me. And then finally Giselle broke down. I was like, okay, Heather, I'm sorry. Let's be friends. Let's start over. And it was Heather the whole time. I love it.
Fun little twist. Well, that was the end of Girls Trip Season 3. So, you know, not a triumph for me, but a triumph for others. And my only hope for next year is that they have shorter, tighter episodes. And I guess we'll see what happens. Well, the next season will be a shit show. We know that much. So who knows? Who knows what's going to happen there? But in the meantime, thanks everyone for being here. And we will talk to you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Dana C.
Dana Do.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors, the incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Erica 500 Days of Summers.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Undo your fasteners, it's Aaron Kastner.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
We want to hang with Liz Lang. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.